The Earth Mark II, in fact. We're making a copy from our original blueprints.
Original blueprints? Are you trying to tell me you made the Earth?
Oh, yes. Did you ever go to a place, I think it was called Norway?
No, I didn't.
Pity, that was one of mine. Won an award, you know. Lovely, crinkly edges. I was terribly sorry to hear it had been destroyed.
You were?
5 minutes too early.
What?
Shocking cock-up. The mice were furious.
The mice were furious?
Yes.
Oh, yes, well, so I expect with the dogs and cats and duck-billed platypuses. But really, I don't see
why... weren't running the planet, were they?
No, but
I... And the mice were. So they were rather upset that it was destroyed 5 minutes too early, so we've got to build another one.
Sorry, are we talking about the little white furry things with the cheese fixation and women standing screaming on tables in early 60s sitcoms?
Earthman, it is sometimes hard to follow your mode of speech. Remember, I have been asleep inside this planet of Magrathea for 5 million years and know little of these early 60s sitcoms of which you speak. But these creatures you call mice are merely the protrusion into our dimension of vast, hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings. The whole business with the cheese and the squeaking is just a front. They've been experimenting on you, I'm afraid.
No, come on, that's the wrong way round. We used to experiment on them. You know, behavioural research and so on.
Such subtlety.
What?
How better to disguise their real natures and how better to guide your thinking? Suddenly running down the maze the wrong way, eating the wrong bit of cheese, unexpectedly dropping dead of myxomatosis? Earthman, I'm afraid I must tell you that your planet and people have formed the matrix of an organic computer, running a 10-million-year research program to find the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything.
Oh.
You see, they really are particularly clever, hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings.
Attention, please, slightly barred fast. The mice have received reports that you have a human from the planet Earth with you. Report immediately.
However, in the field of management relations, they're absolutely shocking.
Really?
Yes, you see, well, every time they give me an order, I just want to jump on a table and scream.
I can see that would be a problem.
There are, of course, many problems connected with life, of which some of the most popular are, why are people born, why do they die, and why do they want to spend so much of the intervening time wearing digital watches? Many millions of years ago, a race of hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings got so fed up with all the constant bickering about the meaning of life, which used to interrupt their favourite pastime of Brockian ultra cricket, a curious game which involved suddenly hitting people for no readily apparent reason and running away, that they decided to sit down and solve the problem once and for all. And to this end, they built themselves a stupendous supercomputer which was so amazingly intelligent that even before its databanks had been connected up, it had started from first principles with I think, therefore I am, and had got as far as deducing the existence of rice pudding and income tax before anyone managed to turn it off. Could a mere computer solve the problem of life, the universe, and everything? Fortunately for posterity, there exists this recording of what happened when the computer was given its monumental task.
What is this great task for which I, Deep Thought, the second greatest computer in the universe of time and space, have been called into existence?
Oh, Deep Thought computer, the task we have designed you to perform is this. We want you to tell us the answer.
The answer? The answer to what?
Life.
The universe.
Everything.
Tricky.
But can you do it?
Yes, I can do it.
There is an answer? A simple answer?
Yes. Life, the universe, and everything. There is an answer. But I'll have to think about it.
What's happening out there?
We demand admission.
Come on, you can't keep us out.
We demand that you can't keep us out.
Who are you? What do you want?
I am Magic Thighs.
And I demand that I am Vroomfondle.
It's all right, you don't need to demand that.
Sorry. All right, I am Vroomfondle, and that is not a demand. That is a solid fact. What we demand is solid facts.
No, we don't. That is precisely what we don't demand.
Sorry. We don't demand solid facts.
Right.
What we demand is a total absence of solid facts. I demand that I may or may not be Vroomfondel.
Look, but who are you anyway?
We are philosophers.
Though we may not be.
Yes, we are. Oh. We're quite definitely here as representatives of the Amalgamated Union of Philosophers, Sages, Luminaries and other professional thinking persons.
Right.
And we want this machine off, and we want it off now.
What is all this?
We demand that you get rid of it.
What's the problem?
I'll tell you what the problem is. Demarcation, that's the problem.
We demand that demarcation may or may not be the problem.
You just let the machines get on with the adding up and we'll take care of the eternal verities, thank you very much.
Right.
Under law, the quest for ultimate truth is quite clearly the prerogative of your working thinkers.
Right.
Any bloody machine goes and actually finds it and we're straight out of a job, aren't we? I mean, well, what's the use of our sitting up all night saying there may or... may not be a god if this machine gives you his telephone number the next morning?
We demand guaranteed, rigidly defined areas of doubt and uncertainty.
Might I make an observation at this point?
You keep out of this metal nose!
We demand that that machine not be allowed to think about this problem!
All I wanted to say...
We'll go on strike!
That's right! You'll have a National Philosopher's strike on your hands!
Whom will that inconvenience?
Never you mind who it will inconvenience, you box of blacklegging binary bits!
Right.
It'll hurt, Buster! It'll hurt!
There is no terror in your threats!
Oh.
All I wanted to say is... that I am now irrevocably committed to computing the answer to life, the universe, and everything. But the program will take me 7.5 million years to run.
Seven and a half million years?
And it occurs to me that running a program like this is bound to cause sensational public interest. And so, any philosophers, such as perhaps yourselves, who are quick off the mark, are going to clean up in the prediction business.
Prediction business? Uh-huh. What's that?
You just get on the pundit circuit. You all go on the chat shows and the colour supplements and violently disagree with each other about what answer I'm eventually going to produce. And if you get yourselves clever agents, you'll be on the gravy train for life.
Bloody hell. Now that's what I call thinking. Here, Vroomfondel, why do we never think of things like that?
Dunno. Think our minds must be too highly trained, Magic Thighs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's it.
And so, Vroomfondel and Magic Thighs became the greatest and most truly interesting pundits the universe had ever known. And thousands upon thousands of generations later, the great day for which this race of hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings had waited, somewhat impatiently, dawned.
Oh, people who wait in the shadow of deep thought, honored descendants of Vroomfondel and Magic Thighs, the time of waiting is over. 7.5 million years our race has waited for this great and hopefully enlightening day, the day of the answer. Never again will we wake up in the morning and think, who am I? What is my purpose in life? Does it really, cosmically speaking, matter if I don't get up and go to work? For today, we will finally learn once and for all the plain and simple answer to all these nagging little problems of life, the universe, and everything. From today, we can enjoy our games of Brockian ultra cricket in the firm and comfortable knowledge that the meaning of life is now well and truly sorted out!
The time is nearly upon us. I detect a change in the computer. It's suddenly looking a lot more relaxed.
75,000 generations ago, our ancestors set this program in motion. In all that time, we will be the first to hear the computer speak.
Oh, an awesome prospect.
We are the ones who will hear the answer to the great question of life.
The universe.
And everything.
Deep thought prepares to speak.
Good evening.
Good evening. Oh, deep thought. Do you have you That is...
An answer for you?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
There really is one?
There really is one.
To everything? To the great question of life, the universe, and everything?
Yes.
And are you ready to give it to us?
I am.
Now?
Now.
Wow.
Though I don't think you're going to like it.
Doesn't matter. We must know it. Now.
Now?
Yes, now.
All right.
Well?
You're really not going to like it.
Tell us.
All right. The answer to everything.
Yes?
Life, the universe, and everything.
Yes?
Is 42.
We're gonna get lynched, you know that.
It was a tough assignment.
42? I mean, is that all we've waited for, all that money?
May I be permitted to make an observation?
7.5 million years' work.
I checked it very thoroughly. And that definitely is the answer. I think the problem, essentially, is that you've never actually said what the question is.
But it was the ultimate question. The question of life, the universe, and everything.
Yes. But what actually is it?
Well, I mean,
you know, why is...
What?
What sort of...
When...
Everything.
Just everything, you know.
Exactly. Now, once you know what the question actually is, you'll know what the answer means.
Oh, terrific.
Look, all right. Now, can you please tell us the question?
The ultimate question?
Yes.
Of life, the universe, and everything?
Yes.
Tricky.
But can you do it?
No.
Oh,
but I'll tell you who can.
But who? Please tell us, please.
I speak of the computer that is to come after me. A computer whose merest operational parameters I am not worthy to calculate. And yet, I will design it for you. A computer to calculate the ultimate question. A computer of such infinite and subtle complexity that organic life itself shall form part of its operational matrix. And you yourselves shall take on the forms of humble rodents and go down into the computer.
I think this is getting needlessly messianic.
Down to navigate its 10-million-year program. Yes, I shall design this computer for you, and I shall name it also unto you, and it shall be called the Earth.
The Earth.
Yes.
Oh, what a dull name.
Wake up!
Where am I?
You have been in a deep trance, absorbing data from the Magrathian CompuMatrix archive cells.
Oh, of course.
Come, you are to meet your masters. Your arrival on our planet has caused considerable excitement. It has already been hailed as the third most improbable event in the history of the universe.
What were the first two?
Oh, probably just coincidences.
But was that all true? That the Earth was just a huge computer?
Yes. And it was destroyed by the Vogons 5 minutes before the 10-million-year program was completed. Well, that's bureaucracy for you.
You know, that would explain a lot of things. All through my life, I've had this strange, unaccountable feeling that something secret, something sinister was going on in the world, and no one would tell me what it was.
Oh, that's just perfectly normal paranoia. Everyone in the universe has that.
Well, perhaps that means that somewhere outside even the universe, on the next scale up...
Maybe. Who cares? Perhaps I'm old and tired, but I always think that the chances of finding out what really is going on are so absurdly remote that the only thing to do is, say, hang the sense of it and just keep yourself occupied. Look at me. I designed coastlines. I got an award for Norway. Where's the sense in that? None that I've been able to make out. I've been doing fjords all my life. For a fleeting moment, they become fashionable, and I get a major award. In this replacement Earth we're building, they're giving me Africa to do, and of course I'm doing it with all fjords again because I happen to like them. And I'm old-fashioned enough to think that they give a lovely Baroque feel to a continent. And they tell me it's not equatorial enough. What does it matter? Science has achieved some wonderful things, of course, but I'd far rather be happy than right any day.
And are you?
No. That's where it all falls down, of course.
Pity. It sounded like quite a good lifestyle otherwise.
Attention, please, Slarty Bartfast. Would Slarty Bartfast and the visiting Earth creature please report to the mice in the works reception area immediately?
I seem to be having this tremendous difficulty with my lifestyle.
I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry, that must seem an awfully fatuous thing to say.
Yes, I thought so.
It's just that I find it a bit hard to relate to all this.
It is, of course, well known that careless talk costs lives, but the full scale of the problem is not always appreciated. For instance, at the very moment that Arthur said, "I seem to be having this tremendous difficulty with my lifestyle," a freak wormhole opened up in the fabric of the space-time continuum and carried his words far, far back in time across almost infinite reaches of space to a distant galaxy where strange and warlike beings were poised on the brink of frightful interstellar battle. The two opposing leaders were meeting for the last time, and a dreadful silence fell across the conference table as the commander of the Vlahergs, resplendent in his black-jeweled battle shorts, gazed levelly at the Gugugvant leader squatting opposite him in a cloud of green, sweet-smelling steam, and with a million sleek and horribly beweaponed star cruisers poised to unleash electric death at his single word of command, challenged the vile creature to take back what it had said about his mother. The creature stirred in his sickly, broiling vapor, and at that very moment the words,
"I seem to be having this tremendous difficulty with my lifestyle,"
drifted across the conference table. Unfortunately, in the Vlaherg tongue, this was the most dreadful insult imaginable, and there was nothing for it but to wage terrible war. Eventually, after their galaxy had been decimated, it was realized that the whole thing had been a ghastly mistake, and so the two opposing battle fleets settled their few remaining differences in order to launch a joint attack on our galaxy, now positively identified as the source of the offending remark. For thousands more years, the mighty ships tore across the empty wastes of space and finally dived screaming onto the planet Earth, where, due to a terrible miscalculation of scale, the entire battle fleet was accidentally swallowed by a small dog. Those who study the complex interplay of cause and effect in the history of the universe say that this sort of thing is going on all the time, but are powerless to prevent it. It's just life, they say. Meanwhile, Arthur Dent has been escorted to the Magrathian Works reception area for a shatteringly odd meeting.
Arthur, you're safe!
Am I? Oh, good.
Hi, Arthur, come and join us.
Ford, Trillian, Zaphod, what happened to you?
Well, our host's here.
Host? What host?
Welcome to lunch, Earth creature.
What? Who said that? Oh, there's a mouse on the table.
Oh, haven't you found out yet, Arthur?
What? Oh, I see, yes. Yeah, yes, I just wasn't quite prepared for the full reality of it.
Arthur, this is Benji Mouse. And this is Frankie Mouse.
Nice to meet you.
Excuse me.
Yes, thank you, Slarty Bartfast. You may go.
What? Very well. Thank you, sir. I'll just go and get on with some of my fjords, then.
In fact, that won't be necessary. We won't be requiring the new Earth after all. We had this rather interesting proposition put to us.
What? You can't mean that. I've got 1,000 glaciers poised and ready to roll over Africa.
Well, perhaps you can take a quick skiing holiday before you dismantle them.
Skiing holiday? Those glaciers are works of art. Elegantly sculpted contours, soaring pinnacles of ice, deep, majestic ravines. It would be sacrilege to go skiing on high art.
Thank you, Slarty Bartfast. That will be all.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Well, goodbye, Earthman. Hope the lifestyle comes together.
What? Oh, thank you. Yes. Goodbye, then. Sorry about the fjords.
No, Earth creature. As you've gathered, we've been at this ultimate question business now for 17 and a half million years.
Oh, longer, surely.
No, no, it just seems longer. And then, just as we're about to get somewhere, you go and let your wretched planet get blown up and... Well, we're sick to death of the whole thing, to be honest.
Well, it's hardly my fault.
Yes, we appreciate that. The point is that we need a question. At least a question.
And we can either do the whole thing all over again...
God forbid.
Or, well, we'll come to that.
You see, the thing is, we've been offered an enormous contract to do the 5D TV chat show and lecture circuit.
What?
But... we've got to have a strong product.
You see, Monkey Man, if they're just sitting there in the studio looking very relaxed and just, you know, mentioning that they happen to know the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe and everything, and then eventually have to admit that in fact it's 42, then I think the show's probably quite short.
Right. Yeah. No follow-up, you see.
We've got to have something that sounds good.
Something that sounds good? An ultimate question that sounds good?
Well, I mean, yes. Idealism, yes, the dignity of pure research, yes, the pursuit of truth in all its forms, but there comes a point, I'm afraid, where you begin to suspect that if there's any real truth, it's that the entire infinity of the universe is almost certainly being run by a bunch of maniacs. And if it comes to a choice between spending another 10 million years finding that out, and on the other hand, just taking the money and running, then I, for one, could do with the exercise.
But I don't understand...
Shh. Hey, get this, will you, Earthman? You are a last-generation product of that computer matrix, right? And you were there right up to the moment your planet got the finger, yeah?
Yes.
So your brain was an organic part of the penultimate configuration of the computer program.
Right?
Well, yes, but I don't quite see what this is...
There's a good chance that the structure of the question is encoded in the structure of your brain. So we want to buy it of you.
What, the question?
No, your brain.
What?
Yeah, that's okay, isn't it? I mean, who's going to miss it?
Thank you very much.
I thought you said you could just read his brain electronically.
Yes, but we've got to get it out first. It's got to be prepared, treated, diced.
Thank you.
Arthur!
Hey, come on, guys. I mean, hey! It can be replaced, you know, if you think it's that important.
An electronic brain. A simple one should suffice.
A simple one?
Yeah, it can be programmed to say what, and I don't understand, and where's the T, and who'd know the difference?
What?
See what I mean?
I'd notice the difference.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be programmed not to.
Look, I'm sorry, my soul, lads. I don't think we've got a deal.
Emergency, emergency. Hostile ship has landed on planet. Intruders now within works reception area. Defense station.
What is it now?
Bats doos, it'll be galactic police. We gotta go whoosh.
Police?
Yes, we're in a stolen spacecraft.
Improbability drive ship.
Ah, so that's how the Earthman got here.
Say, Fod, didn't you leave a note explaining how they could make a profit on the insurance deal?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to have worked.
Come on, then, let's move.
Damn. Why all that fuss over 2 pounds of Earthling brain?
We're going to have to invent a question.
What's yellow and dangerous?
42. No, no, doesn't work. Now, how many roads must a man walk down?
Ah, that's promising. Sounds good, but doesn't actually tie you down to meaning anything. How many roads must a man walk down?
42.
Excellent, excellent.
Which way you reckon, Zaphod?
At a wild guess, I'd say down here.
Okay, move, move.
Okay, people, Bronx, freeze! We got you covered.
You want to try a guess at all, Ford?
Okay, this way.
Right, okay.
Well, I hope you know
we don't want to shoot you, people, Bronx.
Suits me fine.
We're cornered.
Oh, hell, I've dropped my adrenaline pills. All right, behind this computer bank, get down.
Hey, they're shooting at us.
Yeah.
I thought they said they didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I thought they said that.
Hey, we thought you said you didn't want to do that.
It isn't easy being a cop.
What did he say?
He said it isn't easy being a cop.
Well, surely that's his problem, isn't it?
I'd have thought so.
Hey, listen. I think we've got enough problems of our own with you shooting at us. So if you could avoid laying your personal problems on us as well, I think we'd probably find it easier to cope.
Now, see here, you guys. You're not dealing with any dumb, two-bit, trigger-pumping morons with low hairlines, little piggy eyes, and no conversation.
No!
No, we are a couple of intelligent, caring guys probably quite like if you met us socially.
Yeah.
I don't go around gratuitously shooting people and bragging about it and see these Space Rangers boars.
No, he doesn't.
No, I don't. I go around shooting people gratuitously and then agonize about it afterwards to my girlfriend.
Yeah, he does. And I write novels.
He writes them in crayon.
No, I haven't had any of them published yet. So I'd better warn you, I'm in a mean mood.
Who are these guys?
I think I preferred it when they were shooting.
So, you gonna come out quietly, or you gonna let us blast you out?
Which would you rather?
You still there?
Yes!
We didn't enjoy doing that at all.
We could tell.
Now listen to this, people, Broxton. You better listen good.
Why?
Because it's gonna be very intelligent and quite interesting and humane.
Okay, fire away! I mean...
Misunderstanding, man.
Yeah, it was fun though, wasn't it?
Yeah. We shoot him again for a bit.
Yeah, why not?
The computer bank is absorbing a hell of a lot of energy. My thing's about to explode.
Well, that about wraps it up for this lifetime.
Well, it's been really nice running into you again, Zaphod.
Zaglabos, thrill, jolting Astron.
Singing it makes us feel good at times of stress.
Zaglabos.
Well, if you're going to be like that about it. Land of hope and glory.
Oh, what a
It is, of course, more or less at this misleading point that this part of our story ends. Though it is in many ways a remarkable story, contains much that is apocryphal, or at least wildly inaccurate, is reasonably cheap, and has the words "Don't Panic" written in large friendly letters on the cover, it is not, of course, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy itself. To obtain your copy of the actual guide, please write to Megadodo Publications, Megadodo House, Ursa Minor Beta, enclosing £4.95 for the book and 578,000 million pounds, postage and packing.